The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We're talking there about Putin and our defence system and whether it's fit for purpose. Ed says, never mind the Baltics, Ireland is a sitting duck. Putin could throw a curveball and waltz in here anytime he likes because of our Mickey Mouse policy on neutrality. No one would be obliged to come to our aids. Another says, Ivan, if other small neutral countries like Austria and Switzerland can maintain a proper air force and protect their air force, why can't we? But someone else said, if we have a choice between housing and defence, it doesn't have to be that way. All right, let's go stateside now and regular contributor to the PK show, Terry Sheridan, managing editor of WSHU Public Radio. And we want to talk to him specifically about the issue of the decision by Donald Trump announced yesterday, as promised in the election, to release the archive files to do with the assassination of John F. Kennedy in 1963. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning to you, Ivan.
And so, what might we learn that's new?
Well, we don't know. I mean, the historians are calling this an actual dump. It's 1,100 PDF documents, typewritten pages, handwritten notes, most of which are hard to read because a lot of them are just photocopies. Basically, 80,000 pages of documents. They're not categorized or presented in any organized way. So historians and archivists, they've already started going through this. But they say it's going to take a while to read everything, put it together, and see if there is, and I'm going to underline the word if there is anything new to be learned about the assassination of JFK.
Well, it was over 60 years ago, so we do need to sort of retrace our steps. Lee Harvey Oswald was married to a Russian woman at the time of the assassination. And just remind me, was he convicted of the murder? And where did we get to the point where there were so many conspiracy theories of people who wanted JFK dead, even allegedly involving US CIA and all that? Just talk us through the different conspiracy theories.
And this is where all the conspiracy theories started. Lee Harvey Oswald, as you said, yes, was married to a Russian woman. He actually presented himself to the USSR in the late 50s, 1960, and wanted to defect. He's a former U.S. Marine who was a marksman, came back to the United States, and became a leftist agitator. He was shot and killed 2 days after the assassination in the basement of the Dallas Police Headquarters by Jack Ruby. And that is where the conspiracy theories started. Why was he killed? Why was Jack Ruby allowed into that basement? He presented himself as a reporter, but never presented any credentials. And then Jack Ruby himself died in prison a few years later. So this is where all the conspiracy theories get their start. You know, was this a CIA hit? Was this a conservative hit against a liberal president? Was this a mafia hit? And that's where all the conspiracy theories get underway.
I'm interested in the mechanic of releasing these papers because we have a thing, and I think the British have the same, which is for cabinet papers and so on, there's what's called a 30-year rule. And on the 1st of January, 30 years after an event, after a new calendar year, we release all the government papers for that. What is the state's position in the US in relation to the release of confidential state papers?
We don't have anything like that. It's up to the government. It's up to the agencies about what they want to release and when they want to release. Now, the Kennedy papers, these specific papers, were held back because of numerous reasons. One is the graphic nature of the murder of John F. Kennedy, the wounds that he did sustain. The other is because of Oswald's connections to Russia between various prongs of the investigation. there was a desire to hide or to keep secret the methods and sources of the CIA. They didn't want to put anybody that was still alive or could be still alive in danger. And that was the main reason that most of the papers were kept secret. Now, going back to 1992, you might remember the Oliver Stone film, JFK. That gave Congress the impetus to declare that most of the papers would be released by 2017. That is what Donald Trump did during his first administration. He released the vast majority of the papers. These were the last papers that, back in 2017, were, I don't want to say were sensitive, but we thought that there were still issues that needed to be redacted or cleared up before they were released.
Okay, so how did this become an election issue? Like, we know that Robert F. Kennedy, a son of Robert Kennedy and a nephew of John F. Kennedy, sort of did a volte-face from being an independent candidate to joining the Trump campaign. What's his take on all this?
He has expressed his support for the releasing of the papers, also releasing any papers in relation to the assassination of his father, and then also any papers related to the assassination of Martin Luther King. Now, in yesterday's dump, there were about 50 pages related to Martin Luther King, and there was no secrets or no surprises there. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has become a campaign issue. It's something that Donald Trump said because of the interest of conspiracy theorists that he would release the papers so that people could see for themselves, you know, what was in the files.
So what say you, Terry? Is this a bottle of smoke or will it shed new light?
Well, again, from what the historians are saying, they don't believe so. They believe that most of what was released yesterday was contained in other papers that have already been released. We might see a few more names. We might see a few more methods and sources of the CIA. It's also important to remember that there are still 2,500 documents that remain under court-ordered seal and 2,100 documents that still have been redacted in some way, shape, or form, again, under court-ordered seal. So they're not expecting any, pardon the pun, or no pun intended, no smoking gun among this. The overwhelming papers, the release of the papers, still declare that Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone gunman who killed JFK on November 22nd, 1963.
And that he was a lone wolf, effectively.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, Terry, the great thing about you is I can throw any curveball at you and you pick it up with aplomb to give an instant reaction. Just in the last hour, we've had Sir William Browder on the programme, who was expelled from Russia, giving his analysis of the latest talks between the US and Russia. And he said basically that Putin is utterly disingenuous, that this is going nowhere, and that, you know, essentially Trump is going to be rebuffed. And given that, you know, he's put a lot of political eggs in this basket and political capital, and he has an ego, if it transpires he's been rebuffed, how do you think that might play out? Or is that the analysis shared? Or is there optimism that there could be peace?
I think most foreign policy experts, and I did an event last fall with John J. Sullivan, who was the American ambassador to Russia during the invasion, who was appointed by Trump and then continued to serve under Joe Biden. He says it's important to remember that Putin views the United States, no matter who is president, as an enemy. He views Putin as a Czechist, someone who is in there strictly for power and who is not an honest broker in any negotiations. If Donald Trump is rebuffed by Putin, I don't know what Donald Trump would do. I think he wants to see himself as someone who is, I'm trying to think of the right word, not equal to Putin, but maybe up to Putin and his strongman tendencies. So I don't know what Donald Trump would do if Putin rejects him. He might blame Ukraine for the failure of what's going on. But I do not think he is viewing Putin realistically.
And in the U.S., is there optimism about this? Or is there a sense that this could run into the sand despite the U.S.? Like, my view is that if the U.S. doesn't try and broker it, who else will? You know what I mean? So that I see it as a positive possible contribution, but it may well be doomed. In the U.S., do they look at this optimistically or not?
It depends who you talk to. I think there's a realization that the U.S. somehow has to be involved. But I think there is pessimism that anything will get done, and basically because of Putin, and basically because of the terms of what the ceasefire or what any peace plan would be, which, for lack of a better term, is basically Ukrainian surrender.
Okay, right. Terry Sheridan, managing editor, as always, with WSHU. Thank you for joining us in relation to those JFK archives being released. Very interesting to find out if it'll shed any new light. Now, Dermot.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.